Good evening. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be reading tonight. Our lesson is going to be from Philippians, the fourth chapter. This closes the letter to the Christians in Philippi, and I look at this chapter, and there are just so many separate sermons in this, but Paul starts off and he says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my crown and joy, stand fast in the Lord, beloved." I look at that and I see the relationship, the love, the affection that he had for them there in Philippi, you know, calling them my beloved, you know, my longed for brethren. And you just know that he was dear to them. And when they would get this, it just warmed their hearts knowing how Paul felt about them. But then he goes on and he says, so stand fast because I love you and because you are who I know you are. Stand fast in the Lord. And that is not an uncommon command, not an uncommon admonition in the New Testament. You know, we are told repeatedly that very concept to remain faithful unto death in Revelation. In Jude 3, we're told to contend earnestly for the faith. In 2 Thessalonians 2:15, Paul also uses the term stand fast. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, he says, hold fast to the word. You know, these are not phrases that he's nonchalant about. These are things that have resolve. These are commands that you dig your heels in and like I said in Jude, you contend earnestly. You give it your best. Not try, and if things get too hard, you know, go about your business. You stand fast. Later in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, you know, Paul starts that chapter with holding fast, and he ends the chapter with you be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In the very next chapter, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he tells them to watch, stand fast, be brave, be strong. Being a Christian, there is nothing namby-pamby about being a Christian. You know, a lot of people confuse the idea of meekness. You know, Jesus said to be meek. Jesus was the perfect example of meekness. Meekness is power under control. It's harnessed power going in the right direction. And a lot of people in the world, they confuse meekness with weakness. And two totally opposite ends of the spectrum. We as Christians need to be strong. We need to stand fast. And I don't want to be the Paul Revere of doom. But this is a dark world. You know, I don't want to to go running into the night scaring people, but I don't want to sugarcoat it either. We live in a world that people would love to end what we're doing right now. We can bury our heads in the sand all we want. We can ignore it. But there are people that would like to take war to Christianity if they could. And they were at this time. And Paul is telling them, stand fast. Don't buckle under the pressure. You do what you can. What can we do? We can pray. We can encourage others. Lift each other up when we're weak, just like they did. But never buckle. Never throw our hands up and bow to the world. That ain't happening. He goes on to say, and he kind of shifts gears here. He says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I'll tell you, you know Paul loves them, but he's calling them out. He's calling them out by name. If it was today, I think the kids say you're being put on blast. I don't know if that's still the term, but I hear the kids talking. Paul's putting Euodia and Syntyche on blast. You two ladies be of the same mind. You get along. And verse 3, and I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. There's no doubt they're strong Christians, but they have some personal stuff. Be in the same mind in the Lord. You don't have to like each other's toga. You don't have to. Be in the same mind in the Lord. Help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Paul's telling them, get your act together. Put your pettiness aside. You've worked with me, no problem. Work together. He goes on to say in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not when it's easy, not when things are good. Rejoice in the Lord always. What's that song we see? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. You know, not just the things that are good. Paul's going to, when you think about, he's writing this from being in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness. He's telling them right before, you be strong, immovable. But be gentle. That's what Paul was. Paul was strong. He got it done. He got it told. He got the message out. But he was gentle. He was gentle with Euodia and Syntyche. But he got them told. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. A number of things in just that verse. To One, we let our requests be made known to God. Another reinforcement of the concept that we pray to God. We pray to God the Father. We don't pray to angels. We don't pray to Mary. We don't even pray to Jesus. We pray to God the Father. One thing we can do is we can pray for strength. We can pray for opportunities. Wasn't that part of the prayer Paul had this morning in Colossians? Asking the Colossians to pray that doors might be opened for him. We can pray to defeat evil. There's no more power. We could take up pitchforks and torches and go on a rampage. You know what would do more help with that as Christians? Prayer. Now, if it gets push comes to shove, but we can have more power through prayer than anything else at our disposal. We as Christians can encourage each other. We can teach each other. We can teach the world the evils that are in the world. You teach people the gospel, they will make their mind up about the things bad in the world. I would rather spend my time preaching the gospel than going on an anti-abortion campaign. You preach the gospel, they'll figure it out. They will figure that out. We can vote as Christians. Vote for people that have Christian values. Pray for the defeat of evil. Brother Mel, Preston's dad, recently was preaching about Revelation. You read Revelation. I'm going to cut to the chase. The good guys win. We just got to make sure whose side we're on. The right wins. Verse 7, and the peace of God, you do that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. There's nothing wrong with asking God for things. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. How do you explain that to somebody? How do you explain the peace of God? They get it themselves. It's kind of like trying to explain what heaven's like. It's hard to do. We have some images, some comparisons. You either have the peace of God or you don't. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, regardless of the situation, regardless of the surrounding circumstances, whether it's good or bad. You can, the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in spite of being in the midst of turmoil through Christ Jesus. He overcame it all. We have that, lesson. He overcame it, so can we. Dick read today in Romans. Paul talked about in Romans that as we were buried with him in baptism, we rise to a new life. We pattern ourselves after Jesus. Jesus overcame it all. He says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, I just want to pause for a second. Don't confuse the things Paul is saying with what the world says these things are. We should, as Christians, know the difference. He says, whatever things are true. We hear a lot of yapping in the world, on social media, on TV, radio. We hear a lot of yapping about things that are not true, that are bad, that are evil. Paul said, whatever things are true, you focus on those. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It's not giving a passing thought. Meditate. Focus. Dwell on. Pray about. Let your mind be tuned in to those things rather than the circus of the world that's going on distracting us. That's so easy to do. Paul says, focus your mind on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. You know, a lot of people can learn something. But he says, those of you that have learned and received them, taken them in. There's a lot of people that have learned religious things. Have they received them into their heart? He says the things that you've heard and saw in me. You know, we were talking this morning about, you know, being a living sermon. You know, letting people see through your conduct. Paul did. The things you heard in me that I preached about, but not just preach. The things you saw in me too. I walked the walk. The things you heard from me and saw in me, these do. It's not one of those do as I say but not as I do. Do what I say and what I do. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. He learned it. It just doesn't come. Little fairy dust doesn't sprinkle on you and poof, you learn it. And who knows what it took for Paul to learn that. He's been through an awful lot. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think that was probably the first wow scripture I learned as a teenager. That when we covered this in a Bible class or a sermon or something, you know, that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was one of those, man, one of those power scriptures to me. Now, it doesn't mean that if I pray to Jesus, I'm going to be able to, you know, play for the Miami Dolphins. That's not, you know, well, it says it right there that if you believe and, you know, if you have faith as a mustard. No. It's not talking about physical things. Spiritual. You think of the man that penned this. I can do all things. Paul has endured beatings. Paul has endured imprisonments. Being stoned, left for dead, shipwrecks. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. They were so close to him and he with them that when he suffered, they suffered. When they heard of his hardships, it hurt them. It bothered them. Verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that's the area where they live in northern Greece. When I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. They sacrificed and they sent financial. Not only did they pray for him, not only when he would go through there and they would send him on his way with their, you know, sharing their food and they sent financial aid twice to him. And he says, not that I wanted it, but when they get this, don't you know how it made them feel that we are helping this great missionary in his efforts? I think of this small congregation, the help we are sending to two preachers in India, a preacher in Kenya, Africa, in Mexico, in South Korea. Their success, we've got a small part in. And I tell you, I know Dick and Stacy try to keep, they will post things and share things on Facebook from some of like David Marub and things Malcolm sends and Valin and I'm going blank on the other, what's the guy's name in India? Joseph? Valin and there was another one. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head. Yes. Take a look at those. When they come up on Facebook, realizing when somebody's baptized or when they show pictures of people being taught, we're helping in a small way. I would like to read something very similar to this about the Philippians, taken from 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. This is talking about the people there in Macedonia and Philippi. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says, starting in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 8, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God." And he's telling Christians in southern Greece about the people in northern Greece, how they have assisted him. And this is the people that he's talking about. In verse 20, he says, "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household." What? Caesar's household? Aren't they the ones punishing him? If you remember, a number of weeks ago when we looked at Philippians 1, in Philippians 1 verses 12 and 13, Paul is reminding them, "Don't worry about me, because the things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And it's become evident to the whole palace guard that my chains are in Christ." These people have him in chains, and they realize we don't have him in chains. God has him in chains. He is chained to God. We just have some physical shackles on him. And he's been able to preach to the palace guard and those in Caesar's household. And he ends this letter, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." He ends this letter exactly the way he started. I think it's in verse 2 of chapter 1. "Grace be to you." And he ends it, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's who the grace comes from. It's from Jesus. Again, what a wonderful chapter, a wonderful book, a wonderful letter that Paul wrote to those Christians in Philippi. I think everybody here is a baptized believer in Christ. If there is sin in your life, don't let another moment go by. Repent of your sin. Go to God in prayer. Ask him for forgiveness. If you need prayers, if there's a struggle in your life, if you need prayers of the congregation, let us go to God with and for you. Whatever your need, please let it be known, and we'll address your need as Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.